Glory to God. We're going to dismiss our children now. Somebody's waiting in the back for you, for Children's Church. You want to go to Children's Church? Or you want to stay here and hear Pastor Joe? Yeah, good choice. Okay. Good choice. God love him. We appreciate our Children's Church workers. Don't take you for granted. I know they got a great time planned for you. We want to thank you for your giving. And also, just a couple other announcements that we want to make. Where's Kelly at? Kelly's going to come. Oh, come on up here. She's going to share with us about a bridal shower coming up. So,
good morning. Okay, so I am the matron of honor for my best friend Morgan's wedding. Morgan, do you want to stand up? That's Morgan. So I'm throwing her a bridal shower here next Sunday at 2 p.m., and she wanted all of the ladies from FCC to be invited, so this is your invitation. We would love for you to come. Huh? Oh, it's up there. So it's at 2 o'clock next Sunday in the Friendship Room. She's registered at Target, but we would love for you all to be there and come eat cupcakes with us. So that's it. Thanks.
Good, good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. FCC doesn't really sponsor bridal showers, but if you're sponsoring one, let us know, and somebody in the body, and this is a good way to let everybody know about it, and so you can come and be a part of that. We also have some pictures for Church Outside the Wall this week. You can send me photos of what you're doing throughout the week. You can email them to me or text them to me. Here's some pictures for this week. Baseball was the theme. There's Paul and Rachel. Guess where they are? Doggone it. They're in St. Louis watching the Cardinals play baseball. But Keys to the Kingdom, we were here in Wichita, and we went and watched the Wingnuts this week, and we did better than the Cardinals, right? We did good. We had a great time. Faith groups aren't always just, sometimes they're out and about doing fun things, and so we appreciate that. We also had our Saturday group, guys that meet at Village Inn, and Kenny joined us this week. We've been meeting for a long time. 7:30 in the morning, Saturdays at Village Inn on Central and Ridge. You can come and join us. And this other picture here, that's Breck. Where's Breck at? Right back there. I had some furniture delivered to my house this week, and up pulls this Ashley furniture truck, and guess who jumps out? It's Breck. He goes, Pastor Joe. And so he delivered furniture to my house, so I took the picture. He had his partner with him. And I love what he said. He goes, you're Pastor Joe. I've heard all about you. I said, good, Breck's doing his job, right? Because that's where the church is. We're out and about, at work, at play, wherever we are. We are the church. It's not a destination. It's a lifestyle. And I send me some pictures of whatever's going on in your life. And I've got more pictures than I can show. I got some great ones for next week of Lori. And I'm going to show you that you're going to really love that. I took some time ago in his driveway. And so you're going to learn some things about him next week. So we're glad you're here. We are going to start a series this morning on the 23rd Psalm. I want to thank Abby for our slide that she made for us. I'm going to encourage you over this month to really spend time in this psalm, really meditating on it and praying and seeking God on a daily basis. We want this psalm to be absorbed into our lives in a special way. In fact, in your messenger this morning, there's an article that Greg wrote for us that you might look at. Small group ministries, yeah. And your fan club out there, right? Greg said something in his article when I was reading it that I think is so apropos. See, when we get into the Word gets into us. It becomes part of who we are. Psalms 119 says, hide the word in your heart. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against me. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, a light unto our feet, right? It gives us direction. It's our compass. The word of God, it's not Moby Dick. It's the word of God, and it gives us direction. And Greg says this in his article, which I like. He says, so oftentimes we come up to people and we ask, hey, have you been in the Word? And everybody says, yes. And Greg says, well, maybe we need to ask another question. Have you felt the Scripture searching you out this week? I like that. That's a little deeper, isn't it? I'm just going to read a verse. Have you been moved or felt life transformation from your reading of the Scriptures this week? Well, that's what I'd like to see happen as we look at the 23rd Psalms, that we're not just going to know it, because this is a famous psalm, isn't it? How many of you go to funerals? Don't they always read the 23rd Psalm at funerals? Yeah. It's a great psalm, and it's used so many. It's used at times of victory, times of sadness. It's a multi-purpose psalm, and everybody knows it. I wonder when David wrote it if he realized how famous it would become, and that we'd be reading it 3,000 years later. We'd be reading the psalms as he wrote them. It's a significant psalm, but we would like to unlock it in a special way. And I want to begin by us just reading it together. And then this is going to be the start. And every day over this next month, I want you to begin to read this psalm and just meditate on it and let God saturate it into your life. Would you read it with me just as it appears on the screen? Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to begin our journey today by looking at the very first verse where David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, the Lord could have compared us to any animal in his creation. In fact, over, I think it's 218 times in Scripture, the analogy of the sheep and the shepherd is used. I've often thought, well, why didn't he use some other analogy? I think it would have been nice if he would have said, "My people are like lions. They're courageous and brave and strong." Wouldn't you have liked that label? That would have been good, wouldn't it? Or maybe my people are they're like foxes because they're shrewd and they're wise. Or maybe he could have said, "My people are like doves. They're so peaceful and meek." But that's not what God said. He looked over all his creation and he declared, "My people are like sheep, and I will be their shepherd." It's great news today. In fact, in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, verses 11 through 12, the writer declares, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep." Is that good news? "I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." Now, I know that refers to the children of Israel, but we are spiritual Israel, are we not? And the heart of the shepherd is still true today for us as sheep. For we were scattered. We went astray. And the shepherd has drawn us back to him. And what kind of shepherd is this? During the month of June, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to unlock and illuminate the truths of the 23rd Psalm and how it relates to you and me today. We're going to be looking through the eyes of David, who was a shepherd himself, right? He knew what it was like to be a shepherd. In fact, later, he became the king of Israel. What did they call him? They called him the Shepherd King. He knew the principles of the shepherd and the relationship to the sheep. David is going to give us a little glimpse of how God cares and how he expresses his concern for us as sheep. See, here's the reality, church. If you can understand the heart of a shepherd, then you will begin to understand the heart of God. He's trying to tell us something. And I believe if you can wrap your arms around it, it can change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your relationship with your fellow employees or your employer. It can change. It'll saturate every area of your life if you can understand what David was trying to tell us. We're actually going to receive help from three sources as we begin this journey. First, from David himself, but also many of you have probably had the opportunity to read Philip Keller's book on the view of a shepherd of 23rd Psalm. See, he grew up and lived in East Africa during the Depression days. And he lived among the native herders of the time, and they closely resembled their counterparts of the Middle East. And so he's drawn from that experience as a child. He also, for over 8 years, purchased some sheep of his own and actually became an owner of sheep and had a sheep ranch. And so he is drawing from his experience as he reads the 23rd Psalm. And then there's another person I want to refer to, and some of you already know him. Actually lives in Heston, and his name is Galen Dreyer. So any of you know Galen? Galen was a farmer pastor at the Wichita Christian Center, and we spent many years together, and he owned sheep in Heston. And I can remember one time we were at a conference together, actually at one of the retreat centers in Heston, and we were getting ready to conclude for the night. And he said, well, I got to get to bed early because I got to get up and take care of my sheep in the morning. I said, man, I'd like to go with you. He said, oh, that'd be great. I said, what time do we need to gather? He said, 3:00 in the morning. I said, you greet those sheep for me, will you? I'm going to be counting sheep, sleeping. But boy, and he was passionate about his sheep. And we sat for long hours talking about sheep and the lessons that they teach us and the parallel of the natural with the spiritual. Because throughout Scripture, this relationship unfolds for us. And so the perspective of these two men and David, we're going to use to help us unlock this familiar psalm that everybody knows, but maybe we'll be able to look at it in a special way. In your insert this morning, you'll find this little piece of paper, and you can follow along and just fill in the blanks. I'm not going to really have any slides. In fact, we went too far. If you can go back, Jensen, we're already ending the service there. But I know we've been having trouble with our slides, so just follow along with this. We're going to be getting that fixed so we can have them up before you. But for today, just follow here, fill in the blanks, and you'll be able to follow along with us. We want to begin by talking about what sheep are like, because we're dealing with sheep and we're dealing with a shepherd, and what is their relationship. First, if we're going to be sheep, we need to know, well, why would God use that analogy? Well, here's just a few things that we know about sheep, and from talking to Galen and from reading Keller, they confirm these things. First off, sheep are defenseless. They're defenseless. Unlike any much of God's creation, if you leave sheep by themselves, they're going to perish. They can't take care of themselves. They're totally exposed. They need a shepherd. They have to have a shepherd to survive. Secondly, they're skittish. Boy, it doesn't take much to spook sheep. And boy, once you get one of them running, they all start running. Is that right? Thirdly, my wife says this is true about me. They're high maintenance. High maintenance. She says, Joe, you are so high maintenance. I'm praying that she doesn't die before me, or I'll be like these sheep out in the pasture with no shepherd, right? I got to answer. Man, I so need her. But how many of you are high maintenance? We are. We're sheep. And we need a lot of attention and a lot of care. If you just leave sheep to themselves, it's nothing but trouble. And lastly, sheep are full of fear. They're fearful animals. This is why they need a full-time shepherd to take care of them. A shepherd will do three things for sheep. He's going to feed them, he's going to protect them, and he's going to guide them. Those are three things they cannot do for themselves, but the shepherd's going to do it for them. Now, sheep are different from cows. And I know this. My wife is a farm girl from the great state of Illinois. And she told me, she said, if you want a cow to go somewhere, you got to be prepared to drive them. And sometimes, she says, you even have to get behind them and push a little bit. Anybody ever had that experience? Even sometimes with a pitchfork, if necessary. And I say that because it was a real experience I had with my wife on their farm. I'm a city boy. And I was there at the farm one day and the bull got out. And so they're trying to get this bull and herd him back into where he belongs in the corral. And so we boxed this bull in and we made a circle around him. He was completely surrounded. And Connie had a pitchfork in her hand. I'll never forget it. She was standing there with this pitchfork. And that bull stood there for a minute and looked at all of us. And he saw Connie. And he said, that must be the weak link. And he charged her. I'll never forget it. But I want you to know my wife stood her ground with that pitchfork for 2 seconds. And then she threw that pitchfork to the ground and she ran, and that bull took advantage of that opening, amen. Well, we got that bull later, but I tell you, it wasn't easy. We had to really manipulate him into the proper place where he needed to be. See, that's different than sheep. Because sheep, you can't drive sheep. You ever see the pictures of sheep? They're not driving them. Sheep follow. They follow. They must be led because they're followers. And Scriptures bears this out, doesn't it? Now you say, well, this sounds pretty negative, Pastor. You might be thinking, hey, you know, I don't think I like being compared to a sheep. Well, I want you to know this morning there's a silver lining. That God has a blessing for you as your shepherd this morning in your relationship with Him. It's not as bad as it sounds. In fact, over the next few weeks, as we journey through David's Psalm, we're going to discover a very special relationship that sheep have with their shepherd and the shepherd have with the sheep. The text is going to reveal to us, I believe, what David knew, what Philip Keller knew, and what Galen Dreyer knows. And that is that sheep have a special blessing that only comes through their shepherd. And it's the second point on your outline. You can fill it in. It's a bond between sheep and their shepherd, and it isn't found anywhere else in the world of agriculture. And that bond is intimacy and dependence with the shepherd. It's a unique relationship. How many of you know it? Intimacy and dependence. God has put us in a place, and that's why He uses this analogy. He's saying, as sheep, we are totally dependent upon the shepherd. But we are also in an intimate relationship with Him. You've often heard us refer to Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we must believe that He is a God who rewards those who diligently seek Him. And so when we hear that, we start trying to get that faith all worked up in us, right? The focus comes back on us. But really, it's not faith that God loves, it's you. But He loves what faith does because it draws you to Him. Because it's all about intimacy and dependence. In John 10, verses 3 through 4, hear these words. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Do you see the intimacy? God carves your name on the palm of his hands. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them. You see, what are the sheep doing? He's ahead of them. They're following him. And his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Now, this analogy is significant because oftentimes in that day and age, there would be these places, enclosures where sheep could go. And they weren't always of the same fold. Sometimes there'd be multiple sheep in there, sheep that didn't belong to you. They belong to multiple shepherds. But he's describing a relationship here that when he would come to that enclosure, he could stand at the gate and his sheep would know his voice. He could call them and they would come out of that enclosure and follow him because they knew him. Galen told me one time that his sheep knew his smell. They could smell him. That's pretty intimate, isn't it? The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. The sheep know the smell of the shepherd. The sheep live and eat and sleep with the shepherd. That's what they were doing on the first Christmas, right? The shepherds were out in the field with their sheep where they were living together out there. That's the kind of relationship that they have. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. They cannot take care of themselves, and left to their own, they will perish. The shepherd knows them by name. That's a pretty intimate relationship. David declared that the Lord is my shepherd. I think when he said it, I don't know this, but I think he was saying in a proud way. I think he was boasting a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David's speaking not as a shepherd. Now he's speaking as a sheep, one who's part of the fold. Wow, that's David's heart. He sees it. He understands both sides of this equation. David knew that the lot of life for one single sheep depended totally on the shepherd who owned him. That was the deciding factor. Would they struggle or would they thrive? That would depend on the shepherd. He's the one who would decide. The shepherd relationship with the sheep all begins at one point, and that is the purchase. In Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Are any of us excluded from that? All of us, we're sheep and we've all went astray, right? Sheep have a tendency to do that. Each of us have turned to our own way. and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. In Keller's book, he tells of his first venture when he went to buy his first sheep. He bought 30 of them. Went to an auction. And he bid on the sheep as they came to the auction. And this was during the Depression. Money was hard to come by. So this was a big deal, putting out cash on the barrelhead to buy these sheep. He was taking a chance, wasn't he? And he said in his book that he laid that cash down on the table, and it was during the years of the Great Depression. He said, every dollar was earned by the blood and sweat and tears of those times. And he wrote this in his book. He said, when I bought the first small flock, I was buying them literally with my own body, which had been laid down with this day in mind. He said, because of this, I felt in a special way that they were in very truth a part of me, and I was a part of them. There was an intimate identity involved, which, though not apparent on the surface to the casual observer, nonetheless made those 30 sheep exceedingly precious to me. Wow. We were talking about sheep. But do you pick up on the heart of the shepherd? He loved those sheep. They were his own. It's not an accident that God calls us sheep. The parallel is clear. We're similar in so many ways, aren't we? Galen told me once that, he said, his sheep are like, they work on mob rule. He said, one of them starts going, they all start going. They just follow the leader, right? Is that true of us? Do we do that? We just follow the crowd, right? Which way is the wind? We're all going. That's what sheep do. He said, they're often full of fear and timid. They can be stubborn. And he used this word. I don't like this word. He said, sometimes sheep are stupid. I was told you're not supposed to use that word, right? My mama said, don't call people stupid. But sheep are kind of dumb animals, aren't they? And God has chosen that to identify with us. And Galen even said they have really perverse habits. Nasty habits. Do we have perverse habits? We do. Yet in despite of all that, Christ bought us. He called us. He called us by name. He made us his own. And he delights in caring for us. Is that good news today? Keller tells in his book that once the sheep were purchased, he said he took them and put them in the corral. He said they were sitting on top of the fence, him and his friend, saying, boy, aren't those some beautiful sheep? He was just admiring his purchase. And his friend said, well, you know what's next, don't you? He said, no, what? He handed him a sharp knife. He said, it's time to mark the sheep. And what they would do is they would take the ear of the sheep, and each shepherd had his own cut or mark for his sheep. And they would notch part of their ear. Sounds a little painful, doesn't it? And he would notch out their ear. And he said, even at a distance, it was easy to determine to whom the sheep belonged. Wow. That's exactly what God has done for us, hasn't he? He has marked us. He has marked you. And from a distance, people ought to be able to see who you belong to. Because your shepherd is the Lord of hosts. You're his. Not only is he my shepherd, but I'm his sheep, right? He owns me. That's what this psalm is about. Everything hinges on this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, we want to, just in the time we have, I want you to quickly look with me at five marks of a good shepherd. Five marks of a good shepherd. Just fill it in as we go, all right? This is the heart of a good shepherd. And number one, John 10:11. A good shepherd will always lay his life down for the sheep. And we no greater love at this than a man lay down his life for another. Well, here's a shepherd that would die for the sheep. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. See, Jesus declares it. He knows this teaching. It's been declared through the Old Testament, and Jesus stands under the new covenant. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Number two. John 10:12-15, listen to this. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. We got too many hirelings in the church today, don't we? It's about a job. But do they love the sheep? He says, so when this hireling sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here's what you need to know. The heart of the shepherd, he will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there to protect you. It's one of the major roles of a good shepherd. He will protect the flock. He's not going to run from danger. He's going to be there with you during the tough times. How many of you know you haven't been promised just a smooth road? There's difficulties out there. It's a dangerous world we live in. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, when David wrote these words, you got to understand, many people believe this was during the time when his son Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom, and there was civil war underfoot. And possibly it was during that time that David penned these words, the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of me. I'm just a sheep. I totally depend on the shepherd for everything. Keller refers in his book to a sheep owner in his district who was what they called a tenant sheep man. The tenant sheep man was a guy who took care of other people's sheep, all right? He wasn't the owner of the sheep. He didn't purchase the sheep. He just kind of took care of them. And he said the sheep that he cared for, and it was separated by a fence. And he said that this particular stock of sheep, they were thin and weak and riddled with disease and parasites. He said they would come up to the fence. They were like fence crawlers. And they would look through the fence at his sheep and the beautiful pasture that he had prepared for his sheep. And he said, I looked at those sheep. He says, the most pitiful sight to see them in that condition. He said, I often wondered, he said, if they could talk, what they might say. Like, boy, we'd like to have that shepherd. You know, your greatest testimony today is to declare the fact that the Lord is your shepherd. And somebody asked, man, what's with you? Well, the Lord is my shepherd. He takes care, and I'm the sheep of his pasture. You know, there are a lot of people today that have shepherds, but they're not good shepherds. It's the shepherd of the world and the worldly ways. Sin, Satan himself. He has come to kill and destroy and to steal. It's not, their lives are riddled with parasite, and they don't have abundant life. We have abundant life because why? Because the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Number three, John 10:16-18. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I believe he's talking about Gentile and Jew. I think he was saying, listen, there's sheep out here that you know nothing about, and I'm going to bring them together, and there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. Is that a message we need to hear today? One flock, one shepherd. We don't just love some of the children. We love all of God's children. And God has brought us together. Yes, there are many denominations, but the shepherd is what unites us, right? And that is the heart of the shepherd. He loves his sheep. They know his voice, and he brings unity into the flock because he is the uniting factor. One shepherd, one flock. I know we like to judge each other and other groups. Well, I agree with this doctrine, not that. Listen. What can you be wrong about and still belong to the kingdom? Say, well, you know, we've got to be part of my church or that church. Listen, it's Jesus. It's the shepherd is what unites us. And that's the unifying force in this whole thing of this psalm. This first verse, everything hinges on it. It's where we start. The Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd, not the shepherd. He's my shepherd. Mine, personally. That's good news today, isn't it? He's my shepherd. Number four, Matthew 9:35-36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Number four, the heart of the shepherd is a heart of compassion. Do you understand how the shepherd feels about you? Our shepherd, the Lord, our shepherd. He has compassion on us. Whenever God ministers to our need, it's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it. It's because His heart is full of compassion. He loves us. It's the heart of a good shepherd. And when He saw the crowds, He saw them harassed. He saw them helpless. That's what sheep are like when they don't have a shepherd. But we have a shepherd. We're not helpless. We're not scattered. We're not harassed. We have a good shepherd. And we need to declare it every day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm challenging you this month. Every morning, get up and read this psalm and declare it to be so like David did. The Lord is my shepherd. And number 5, Matthew 6, 32 through 34. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them. There it is again. Everything's by healing is by compassion. It's by God. God has your best interest at heart because He's a good shepherd. The shepherd care for the sheep. That's what shepherds do, good shepherds. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Look what He did. So He began teaching them many things. Here's number 5. The good shepherd will always lead the flock. He's going to teach them. He's going to lead them. That's what a good shepherd does. He doesn't abandon them. He's going to deposit things into our lives. And what's the hinge of that? Because of that, I shall not want. I shall not want. What does that mean? That almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Anybody here in want today? Say, wait a minute here. I don't know if that's true. David declared it. If you've got the good shepherd, you're not going to want. You're not going to want another master. It's more than just having things. It's about contentment. You're going to be so content. What's the Bible say? With food and clothing, we shall be content. Is it true? No. It's not true, is it? How many here are content with food and clothing? Not in our culture. See, our culture actually causes us to be independent of God. Hey, I can do this thing. And that's what sheep do. He says the sheep turn away. They go their own way. But see, we have a good shepherd. Why would we do that? If we have the good shepherd, we don't need to go anywhere else. We will not want. All the pain in life that comes by wanting, have you experienced it? I want this. I want that. How many of you got in trouble with your wants? Philippians 4:19, what does it declare? And my God shall supply all your what? Needs. According to His riches in glory. God's going to give me everything I need. How many of you believe that? You need to confess that this month. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to have. See, some say gain is godliness. But the writer says, no. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Those who follow the shepherd, those who come under the control of the shepherd, He owns you. He bought you. You are not your own. You belong to the shepherd. And He's a good shepherd. And so you can be content with your shepherd. Now, I grant you there are days when I go, well, Lord, hello. I got this need over here. And God said, well, is it a need or is it a want? Because I'm going to take care of all your needs. I'm going to give you everything. How many of you look in the rearview mirror of your life and you can say, as I can say, God has always taken care of all my needs. He's brought me this far. What? See, we got to go back to last week's sermon, don't we? We got to stack some rocks and remember. The shepherd's always taking good care of us, and He always will. 2 questions. Does not wanting mean a change in what you need, or does it mean seeing your needs in the light of God's wise provision? Who needs to hear that today? Maybe you're struggling with something that you think is a need, but it's really a want. Can you say, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I release that into His care. I know He has my best interest at heart. He's a good shepherd. He's going to feed me. He's going to protect me. He's going to guide me. He's committed Himself to that. He's purchased me. He's marked me. I belong to Him. I don't belong to myself anymore. So what's my problem? I got the best shepherd there is, and He is going to take care of me. 2nd question. What wants do you have in your life that need to be surrendered to the shepherd for His timing and supply? See, that's the role. That's what sheep, they come under the care of the shepherd. And that's what we're going to experience over this next month. We're going to learn what that looks like. How is that possible? Next week, We're going to go to the next verse. We're going to learn how to lie down in green pastures and find the still waters. I had a little 8-year-old come up to me after first service. If we're going to lie down in green pastures, do I need to bring bug spray next week? They're cute. I love it. I love it. Last week we preached a sermon on stacking rocks, and I came out my front door and I found this. Somebody had left at my door. It's the 6 stones we stacked last week. Somebody took the time to paint them with this little note. Stacking stones so we won't forget. Wow, I thought that's great. I love preaching to people who don't just hear it and leave and forget it. Although I don't know what you're going to leave on my porch this week. A little lamb would be cute, yeah. Well, you think it would be cute, but really. That's like there's no such thing as a free kitten, right? Praise God. Will you make me strong? Because when we speak these things, it's not we're just not hearing it, but we're letting it filter down. As Greg said in his article, we want it to saturate our lives. How's it going to affect us? And if you'll be serious about this journey this month, I believe God will unlock some freshness into this old psalm. And he's going to begin to reveal to you his true relationship with you. But it begins with this principle today. The Lord, would you declare it with me? Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This morning we're going to come to the table of the Lord. This is the shepherd's table. It is this table where we have been purchased. We've been marked. We no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to the shepherd, the good shepherd. And he's going to take care of us. He's going to teach us some great things this month. And you're going to enter into a unique relationship that, let me tell you, it can change your marriage. It can change the workplace. It can change everything. Church life as we know it. If we could just understand this principle that we are sheep and he is the shepherd. So many times I have wandered away. But you know what my shepherd does? Haven't you seen it in Scripture? He will secure the 99 and he will go after the one. Does he care that much about you? Have you ever wandered away and the shepherd came with his staff and brought you back? Has it ever happened to you? It has to me. I've been convinced now, there's no doubt in my mind, that the shepherd of the universe loves me and cares for me. And he is my shepherd. And he draws great pleasure from it. And I declare it boldly today. Now my only heart's desire is, because I'm not the shepherd, I'm an under-shepherd. Somebody told me in first service, you're not the shepherd. You're the what? They said, you're the sheepdog. I like that. That's true. I like that. Yeah, I'm the sheepdog, but I'm not the shepherd. And you know, sometimes people have looked for people to be their shepherd. I'm not your shepherd. I'm the sheepdog. I'm here as an under-shepherd, but you have a shepherd. And he is fully capable and willing to take care of you. You shall not want. So if you're here today and maybe you feel like you're in a place of need, I want you to know something. The shepherd knows about it. He's going to take care of you. Anybody here need employment? You don't think the shepherd knows about that? He's going to help you. You hear you need physical healing in your body? The shepherd knows about it. He cares for his sheep. He wants to take care of you. He wants you to be healthy. And you're going to see as we walk through the psalm, there's going to be times where he's going to anoint your head with oil. He's going to do things for you. I want you to know what to expect from your shepherd. And you don't need to, I know the grass always seems greener on the other side, but God has given you the best. Don't settle for inferior when God has given you the best he has. Amen? So declare it today by the way you live and all this week and let God speak to you. We're going to come to this table this morning. We're going to dip the bread in the cup and then come down the center aisle, and then make your way back up the side aisle. As you come today, as you dip the bread, declare it, the Lord is my shepherd. I have been purchased. I have been marked. I belong to him, and I shall not want. Amen. Father, as we come this morning to receive the bread and to dip it in the cup, we are reminded of what you've done for us. It is such a privilege. Lord, you loved us before we loved you. You pursued us before we ever wanted to be pursued. You put your mark on us. And now we want all to know who we belong to. Thank you for taking care of us and being a good shepherd. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come.